Night. You having a good week so far? Amen. I hope you're having a good week. Amen. We still get to have church. Isn't that great? Yes. Well, some places you can't do that much anymore. We get to do it here. That's great. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we end tonight this series of messages on what kind of people make a great church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've been taking a break from our expository study in the book of Genesis, and we've been out of that for several weeks. Next Wednesday, Brother Malcolm will be here in revival services, and so the following Wednesday, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be back in the book of Genesis. So if you've got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading here in verse 4. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, 1 Corinthians 12. Beginning in verse 4, and we'll take it through verse 7. The Word of God reads this, familiar passage to most. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same what? And there are differences of administrations, but the same what there? And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Notice what verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit just that man? No. To profit with all. Profit everybody. So your gift, my gift, person next to you, gift, that's what? That's for the benefit of everybody here tonight. Everybody out there, everybody in here. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the, Lord, for the salvation that we have this evening. We're thankful, Lord, for an opportunity to bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you that we can sing praises to you tonight. Thank you that we can have strength in our legs and air in our lungs just to worship you. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that this midweek time and your word will encourage, equip, convict us where we need to be convicted. And Lord, get us on the, keep us on the path if we're on it, and if we're not, get us on the path we need to be on. Father God, we pray that if there's anyone here among us tonight that needs to receive you as their personal Savior, Lord, that before they get out of this room this evening, before they get out of this sanctuary or off this property, they would seek and or that have their questions answered about what salvation is all about. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said? Amen. Thank you all for standing. You may be seated. Now, we're looking at the word people, and we've been using this word as an acrostic that defines the folks that make a great church. P stands for what? You remember that? Purposefully praying, correct? Praying with a fervor, praying with intensity. I mean, really rattling the bars of heaven. Focused prayer. Amen. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. That's right. P stands for purposefully praying. E stands for embracing the impossible. That is correct. A church with a passion for the cause of Christ will be a people willing to embrace the impossible. Some folks would say in this day and time, it's impossible to have revival. It's impossible to have revival. It's hard to fathom that men of God, or people that claim to be men of God, people that claim to be called to the ministry, people that are pastors of churches, would say to me, or would say to my friends in the ministry, that they don't have revival meetings anymore because they don't believe in revival meetings. And I'm like, what? And yeah, revival meetings don't work anymore. What? I mean, where did you get that from? God's word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Amen? I'm telling you, we don't need less word. I think we need more word. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to cut another service out during the week. We need to maybe add another one. The New Testament church met what? Daily. Daily they met, right? Daily. We come together twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday. The men meet once a Saturday a month. We have every other Monday night a Bible study for men and women. And we, trust me, we ain't overdoing it. That's just a good, that's a good start. Amen. That's what that is. Amen. So anyway, E stands for embracing the impossible. It may be impossible to call it a revival or have a revival. By golly, we're going to embrace it and have revival. Amen. We're going to pray. God wants to revive His church. God wants to revive this church. He wants to revive all churches, man. He wants to revive the church. I'm telling you. He wants the gospel sent out. All right. O stands for offering hope. That's correct. Hope is who? Hope is Jesus Christ. That's what hope is. The church has been given the challenge to offer hope to this world. And as the bride of Christ, bless our little hearts, we have the responsibility to share the hope found only in Christ. So a great church. And I hope a great church, this is a great church. I hope this great church shows up Friday night at the tax office and at the New Hope booth. We going to hand out water, brother?
Okay.
Just pamphlets.
We're going to hand out
Okay, going to give some fans. All right. Well, that in the temperature humidity index of probably 100 degrees at that time of night, that will be very well appreciated. Amen. All right. Offering hope. P stands for P-E-O-P. We got that second P in the word, people. P stands for what? Practicing holiness. That is correct. Our vision of Him, of God, and our time with God is what leads us to pursue holiness. We don't just make a, well, I'm going to be holy tomorrow. You better be in God's Word. You better be in prayer. You better be about the program of being discipled if you're going to be a holy person. Amen? As we spend time with Him, as we get a vision of Him in His Word. P-E-O-P, we're coming to L. L stands for unconditionally. That's right. Jesus gave His disciples a command. He wanted them to understand the significance of love. Our love for one another serves as a statement to the world. And you know what that statement is? The church that practices love in today's culture sends the statement that Jesus is real. Amen? Jesus is real. And then finally, we get to the last letter of this deal. P-E-O-P-L-E. People. I was telling my youngest daughter this afternoon, we were talking about child care and daycare and all of those things, and all her friends are in some kind of child care in the neighborhood. You know, they're not there during the day. And so my youngest one goes, well, Daddy, did you go to daycare when you were a kid? I said, no, I didn't go to daycare. Well, what did you do? I go, I stayed at home. I go, my mother left me $3.02 somewhere on the dining room table, somewhere in the living room, somewhere. It was a couple of dollars and some change. It was all spread out. Every day there was $3. What'd you do with $3.02? I go, I got on my bike every day, Monday through Friday, and I rode to Jack in the Box and bought a hamburger. Amen? That was what I mean, back then you could do that, right? I mean, there wasn't ISIS and, you know, there was predators out there, but not like there are today. And so, my goodness, I just go down the road. Did you ever get tired of Jack in the Box? Yes. But it was fast food, you know. I told my little girl, I said, we were too poor. She goes, poor? I go, yeah, we didn't even have enough money to afford the second O in poor. We were poor. Amen. So we come to the last letter. We got enough money, we can afford all the letters in this word. Amen. And we come into E. And E stands for engaging in ministry. We're down to where the rubber meets the road now. I mean, all this purposefully praying and embracing impossible and offering hope, practicing holiness, loving unconditional, it all leads to this thing right here called engaging in ministry. Ministry is the tool to impact people for the cause of Christ and the glorification of Almighty God. Ministry. Amen? And let me tell you where ministry starts, great church. Ministry starts in Sunday school. Sunday school. If you've got a burden for ministry, if you've got a burden for being a great church, you ought to burn up the text, you ought to burn up the phone, you ought to burn up your email, you ought to burn up your Facebook, inviting your friends to Sunday school this Sunday. Wouldn't it be great if Brother Malcolm had a crowd? Now, there'd be a crowd either way. But wouldn't it be great if he had a crowd? Wouldn't it be great if folks had to park across the street over there because we couldn't get them all in the parking lot, right? Wouldn't it be great if it was packed out? Well, how's it going to... You get them to Sunday school, they'll come to church, amen? You get them to Sunday school. Get them to Sunday school, great church. That's where the ministry starts, right? Ministry is the tool to impact people. An effective church body is a body of believing, practicing folks that practice their gifts, right? Practice their gifts. It is members working together for the cause of Christ in their areas of giftedness and passion. The effective church must take a leap into engaging their Jerusalem, into engaging their Samaria, into engaging the uttermost, right? And so we engage our Jerusalem. We have a Christian school. We have folks that are not churched here. We have folks that are unchurched that, for whatever reason, do not want their children going to public school. Praise God for them. They want to bring them to a Christian environment. They bring them here. We minister to that family through that child. We get God's Word into that home. We pray for that child and that family. We minister. You see that? Right? Over here, we minister where? Where does it begin? Oh, where does it begin? Okay, we're all going to get on the same page in a moment. Where does it begin?
Sunday school.
Thank you. Sunday school. That is correct. Not Sunday and another person saying school. Everybody together, Sunday?
Sunday school.
That's right. Sunday school. Well, can't we call it Bible study? By golly, it's Sunday school. Sunday school is what brought Baptists to the dance in the first place. Why? What's wrong with that name, Sunday school? Amen? It's Sunday. We're in school. Right? You get donuts. You didn't get donuts in school. That's a bonus right there. Amen? Right? You get coffee. You didn't get coffee in school, at least not the school I went to. There's another bonus. I mean, it's a great school. Right? Nobody busts your knuckles over there. Everybody loves on you over there. Everybody wants to help you, pray for you over there. And it's free. Amen. Unlike the school over here, we have to charge over here. But over here, by golly, it's free. Right? Samaria and the uttermost. That's what we're trying to get. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 11. And I'll try to get on down the road here. Acts chapter 11. Just 1 Corinthians and go left. Right? Acts 11, beginning in verse 22. And we'll take it through verse 26. And I just want to share some advice. Some might call it a lesson, some truth concerning how to engage in ministry. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. You found that this evening? All right, the Word of God reads this. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. Doesn't say he preached, says he taught. They had a year-long Sunday school class. That's what they had. They got down with it to the nitty and the gritty. They got all the details out, the apostles' doctrine, the gospel. I mean, they just spilled the beans in Antioch, Barnabas and Paul, for a whole year. It's awesome, isn't it? Lessons for the engaging in ministry. Minister to people. Are you ready for this? with people. Well, how in the world are you going to do that? You're going to start in Sunday school because there is a unit there, a group of people. Gee, who can we minister to? Well, we can minister to this family over here because I heard that they're down on their luck. Or we can minister to this kid over here because I heard they're down on their luck and they don't have any money for school supplies and they don't have any money for school clothes. Well, let's minister to them, or let's minister to this senior adult here. You know, we're low on deacons, and we've got all this manpower and woman power in the Sunday school class, and this widow woman, she needs some help with her house, or she needs some help here. And so let's, as a Sunday school class, let's assemble and let's minister together, right? You know who my together is? My together is my kids, right? When I go make a hospital visit, I'm always trying to bring a kid. Why are you doing that? I'm wanting them to get a taste of ministry. You know what I tell them? I don't tell them this. Hey, you want to go with Dad and get a taste of ministry? I don't tell them that. I don't tell them, hey, come with me. I'm going to mentor you on the fine art of hospital visitation. I don't tell them that either. Just said, hey, you want to go with Dad? They go with Dad. We have a good time. Yeah, we have a good time. Me and Lily, just the other day, we went and saw Miss Barbara McNew. And we went into the hospital, and we were looking for Miss Barbara, and they said that she was still in surgery, so we went out. We had gone up the elevator, and the first time we went up the elevator, I looked at her, and I said, you want to do the monkey jump? And she looked at me, and she said, yeah. And so as the elevator's going up to the fourth floor, we're doing the monkey jump, shaking that elevator, man. And it gets to the fourth floor, and we get out, and we walk down to Barbara's room. Barbara's not there. We go to nurse's station. She must still be in surgery. So then we go back down the elevator. We did the monkey jump going down, right? And then we came out the Tomball Regional, went over to the surgery center, and which is part of the hospital, but it's easier to go outside than try to find it on the inside. And by the time we got over there, Barbara was already en route to her room. So we missed her. So we went back outside, and this is raining, by the way, and all this stuff, and we get back into the hospital and tell the sweet ladies at the front desk we missed her. She's on her way up to the room. So we go back to elevator number 9, and I go, you want to do the monkey jump? She goes, yeah! So we jumped, and we jumped so hard that we stopped the elevator between floor 2 and floor 3. Yeah. Now, I didn't know you could do that. And so, Lily, this fun mentoring time in ministry that she didn't know she was on, turned into a crisis control of, I'm claustrophobic, I don't want to be in here, and Daddy, please get me out of the elevator. And so I kept telling her, I said, Lily, I go, just look, you can see outside. Don't you see outside? Isn't it pretty? That's not helping. She goes, that makes me want to jump out of that window. And I go, Lily, you can't jump through the window. There's two glasses here. I don't want to be in here. Get me out. So I go, all right, Lily. So it's amazing. You know that thing that says, operator, if you push that button, somebody really comes on. They say, can I help you? And I say, we are stuck in elevator number. And Lily's like, it's number 9. And I go, we're stuck in elevator number 9. Okay, we'll get you out. We're sending somebody right now. Well, they had to turn the thing off. And then turn it back on to reset it. Comes back on. And then they dropped it. You think they'd let us out on 1. Oh, no. No, they dropped it, and I thought it was dropping a little fast. And I was holding on for dear life. And then it stopped. And then the old boy brought it back up to 2. And he opened the door. When he looked at me, he knew what we had been doing. And I looked at him and I was just kind of like, oh, come on, Lily, here we go. Right? When we finally get to Barbara McNew's room and we minister to her family, amen, with prayer and concern, and here's a little 9-year-old girl getting to take it all in. So what is she never going to forget? She's never going to forget getting stuck in the elevator. She's never going to forget that hospital visit. I'm telling you, right? Minister to people with people, right? That's what Barnabas is doing here, That's what he's doing. That's what the church at Jerusalem sending Barnabas to Antioch is doing. Barnabas practiced the principle by finding Saul and taking him to Antioch. Always have someone with you to help you work in the ministry. It may be your spouse. It may be somebody in your Sunday school class. It may be somebody on your ministry team. John Donne has said, and he's very eloquently, you've heard the quote before, no man is an island entire of itself, right? There are no Lone Ranger Christians, are there? There are not. The body of Christ is to work together based on that Corinthians passage that we read at the very beginning. See, there are things learned, there are things appreciated, and there are memories made when we do ministry together. So what do? We must give others opportunity to participate. Let me tell you something. It's been my experience. If the ministry project is not too big, usually one person can do it faster than two, but two people can do it better than one. Right? Two people can do it better than one. When there's just one person, something's missed. There's just something's missed. When there's two people, two sets of eyes, two sets of hands, there's just more that is given in the exchange and there's more that's received. I'm telling you, it's just a blessing, right? We must give others opportunity to participate. So participation leads to multiplication of blessings. Blessings for the people doing the ministry, blessings for the people receiving the ministry, and ultimately it leads to the magnification of God's glory. Amen? And that's really what it's all about to begin with, is His glory. As we continue on, listen to what God is doing or what God can do. Verses 22 and 23 of this passage. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Keep your ears open for God opportunities. It's always about being what? Keeping your focus out here. Keeping your focus out here. So I think the best way to do that is when we've read up the Word of God, and when we've prayed up our prayer life, and when we've worshiped up, and we've got all those things taken care of, not that we're ever going to be perfect, but we meet our own spiritual needs by reading, by praying, and by fellowshipping with the saints. When we just have a good feeling about who we are in Christ, and we're not always chasing our tail, wondering, well, did I get saved? Or chasing our tail, man, I sure am beat up with guilt today. Or chasing our tail, man, I really need to stop and confess my sins and keep a short sin account. When we do the basic things first, we are able to get our eyes out. Amen? And that's where we need to be, boy. Our eyes need to be on the outside. We need to be looking for and listening for God opportunities. News had reached the church at Jerusalem about what was going on in Antioch. See, keep your spiritual ears open. Listen for what God is doing. Or keep your Facebook thing tuned in, or your text thing, or your tweets, or whatever. Be tuned in, right? Hear more stuff than, I guess you put more. Hear more than you. Receive more than you type more. I don't know how all that works. But anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, email's pretty out of date, but that's about all I do, right? Listen. Listen, watch, see. Research where there might be a need. Talking to a pastor friend, he was telling me this great dilemma. He was like, man, I've had this great evangelist guy come in, and he sat down with our church, and we had revival, and he told us how we ought to be going door to door to door and knocking these doors and trying to reach these people. He said, Stephen, he goes, we don't even have a visitation program. He goes, we tried to start one. He goes, we come up here and we go out into the neighborhoods and everybody's front yard is gated. Everybody's house has bars on it. Right? And so we ring the doorbell, and guess what? They ain't coming out. Because you're 30 feet away if you're at the front, you're at the front of the yard. Or you're 15 feet away from the front door, 10 feet away. Right? And so we go and we can't even have contact with the people that we're supposed to be trying to reach in our church field. It's an area that's seen transition, right? And there's a lot of crime. And so, you know, can you blame people for wanting to put up bars and getting pit dogs and, you know, and doing all these things to try to stay? You can't blame them. So he goes, I'm just wondering, what can I do to reach these people? I go, Brother Pastor, have you ever thought about having an MDO? He goes, what? What's it? I go, Mother's Day Out program. I go, if you can't go to them, have them come to you. But you know what the beauty of MDO program is? He goes, what? He goes, it's only 2 or 3 days a week, 6 hours, 6.5 hours a day. I go, it's not necessarily geared for working moms, but it's geared for young mothers who want to get a what? Oh, who want to get a break. That's golden, isn't it? Yeah, when you're a new mom and they're spitting up and filling them diapers, boy, it's great to get a break. Hallelujah. And I said, Brother, you'll have them coming to you. Coming to you. And then you and your men, your ladies, y'all get out there and y'all reach them as they come. I told this guy, I said, hey, the next, you know, we get to where we can do it. We want to have an MDO here. We got a school here. Let's have an MDO here. Right? Let's have an MDO to feed the school. Right? They get a taste of the school, get a taste of the facilities. They used to come in here. They go right into pre-K. Ching, 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 ching. Just keep on trucking. MDO stands for Mother's Day Out. Remember that. Amen. Yeah, research, right? Research. Where do people do the research? Everywhere. Interweb. They research. Research where there might be a need. Do you know I've never seen a sign around here for a Celebrate Recovery group? What's Celebrate Recovery? That's Alcoholics Anonymous with a real Christian twist on it. Alcoholics Anonymous used to be really Jesus Christ centered. And they got all this high power, your higher power. Friend, your higher power is Jehovah God, right? You get to Him through Jesus Christ. You don't get through Him through the cup, not this cup, and you can't make this pen your higher power. I mean, you can focus on that for a little bit, and that might keep you sober for 30 days, but that ain't going to get you to glory one day, focusing on that pen, right? That 90-day chip is not your higher power, right? And your sponsor's not your higher power. Jehovah God's your higher power, right? Well, Celebrate Recovery, it's all spun up like that. It's like AA when it got started. They just call it Celebrate Recovery because AA's taken now, right? Can't be Alcoholics Anonymous. It's got to be Celebrate Recovery. I see a lot of what? I see a lot of potential. Because I see a lot of people what? Man, we living in Germantown, right? Germans do what? Drinking the beer, right? Yeah, plenty of possibilities. You don't even have to have a PhD to figure that out. You don't have to be a sociologist. You just put 1 + 1 = 2. Need to celebrate recovery. Research, right? And then what does that do? Celebrate recovery feeds over into Sunday school. Sunday school feeds over into the church. See how that works? Amen? I hope somebody's getting a fire lit underneath them. Amen? I hope it's happening for you. We've got to move on here. Running out of time. All right? Realize God may be working in the most unusual places. He may be working in the most unusual places. You know where I think God is working a lot of times and we miss it? He's working in the workplace. With us. He's wanting to use us to impact somebody. He's working in the schoolhouse. He's working in our neighborhood, right? You say, well, Pastor, I thought only God could work you know, from 10:45 to about 12 after 10, you know, during the... No, God's working in unusual places. And if you're there, you're a little unusual, and you're in a place. Amen? That's where God's working, right? Unusual Christian. Don't forget that. People, as we move on here, people are the front line in ministry. As we keep our eyes on Christ, we must keep our passion for people. Impacting people for the gospel is a result of ministry. Notice we don't keep our eyes on young couples. Notice we don't keep our eyes on a certain demographic. Notice we don't keep our eyes on a certain socioeconomic strata of folks. I tell you, I've never seen, I'll be a little critical and cynical and confess it later. When I was pastoring in Pearland, our church was on the edge of upper middle class neighborhoods. You could go this direction behind us, you run into $300,000 homes. You go down the road here, you run into $250,000 homes. But right around us, it was really depressed area. Lower class. Not middle class. No, it was lower class right around us. And it was so funny. I'd go to these associational meetings, and guess what? Everybody wanted to start a church over yonder in the money. Everybody wanted to start a church over there in the money. Nobody wanted to start a church in the depressed areas of town. It just blew me away. Why not? Why not? Well, because we're looking for this demographic. Well, why don't you just look for people? Amen? There are lost people everywhere you turn. Look for people, right? I tell you what, I was so blessed by the man that started the church that I pastored in Pearland. He didn't go where the people were. He just went where God told him to start a church. Right? He didn't follow any kind of demographic. He just started a church. Church is still there. Church is doing great. Amen? People. Right? Amen? Keep your eyes, your focus on people. Ministry takes time. Ministry takes time. Everybody knows that, right? Ministry takes time. We may not get see any fruit from the Tomball night this coming Friday. We may not see any fruit from it for 6 months or 9 months down the road, right? Maybe even a year. We may be doing Tomball night next year and have an effect or somebody come the following week or two, and we go, man, did you see us out of time? Yeah, I saw you at Tomball Night 2 years ago, right? Ministry takes time. Lost people have to be told sometimes more than once, twice. Folks stuck in sin may have to be confronted more than once, twice. Ministry takes time, right? Don't forget it. Ministry takes time. Requires people. It requires us, right? So as we close this out with a word of prayer, let me remind you of what the Great Commission says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing or immersing them, if you will, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Right? So how and where can I engage in ministry? Pastor, I got all these great ideas about engaging in ministry. You take those ideas, and you show up in your Sunday school class, and you get a group of Christians praying about those ideas, and you formulate a ministry strategy, and you as a Sunday school class, go rip it and get it. Amen? Well, Pastor, don't you want to see? Yeah, you get it all lined out with a group, because there's no Lone Ranger what? No. You get it all lined out with a group, and you show me. I'll come be a part of it. Amen? I'll be there Friday night, handing out fans, pamphlets, and sweating with the rest of you. Amen? Going to be good. Going to smell like church back 100 years ago Friday night. It's going to be good. For air conditioning, man, it's going to be great. It'll smell like work Friday night. Come and be a part of it. It's going to be good. Let's have a closing word of prayer. We'll get to our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge of doing ministry. Lord, I pray that our Sunday school classes, Lord, the folks that make up our Sunday school, would just feel the need and the burden. Lord, maybe there's a Sunday school class in our church that starts a Celebrate Recovery class. Lord, maybe there's a group in our class that starts something else for kids or something for back to school. Lord, I don't know. You know what you're calling your people to do. They've got their own minds and their own giftedness. They don't need to hear it all from me. Lord, you speak to them. Lord, I pray that you would lead them and guide them. Help them, Lord. Help them enjoy the blessing of being a blessing to others. Lord, we thank you for all the ministries that we already have here. But Lord, you know and I know we can always do something else, something more. Thank you for those that sacrifice, and thank you for those that give, and thank you for those that go and that work and do. Lord, I pray that you just multiply that, hone us and sharpen us, and help us be the great church you've called us and desire us to be. Lord, thank you for a praying people, a people that will embrace the impossible, an offering hope people, a people that practice holiness, a people that love unconditionally, and thank you for a church people that will engage in ministry. Thank you for their want to and their willingness to get with it. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, let's look at our prayer list tonight.